this particular program came around in a peculiar set of circumstances, ever since the Warren Commission report came out years ago. We've had no guests on this show who will discuss the theory of what assassination itself, because of several reasons. I felt personally, as an individual, enough theorists, including Mark Lane, Buchanan, and many others, Weisberg, had proposed enough theories, and the American public was confused enough. And then about a year ago, the District Attorney of New Orleans, Mr. Jim Garrison, came up with something that kind of astounded the world when he announced that he had solved the Kennedy assassination. Mr. Morsall, our guest last week, in the course of the conversation, I asked him what he was doing. He said he was now an investigator from Mr. Garrison's office in New Orleans. And before we knew it, we were talking about some of these theories and so forth. I think I mentioned at that time I was getting a little weary of listening to theories, and he mentioned that Mr. Garrison had new and vital information. From that point, I said on the air that night, I don't know if this is exactly what it means, but I said, if Mr. Garrison has new and vital information, will it in any way change the evidence, credible evidence in the case, we would be delighted to have him on the show. We heard from Mr. Garrison by wire, accepting our invitation, saying that he did have, in fact, new evidence that would cast a different light. And for that reason, we'd invite him on the show tonight. I hope not to add more confusion. I hope in some way to illuminate what has been going on. Would you welcome, please, Mr. James Garrison. I thank you for coming and accepting the invitation, and I hope I did not misstate a moment ago what I tried to say to you in the telegram.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Johnny. It's an honor to be here, and I think your curiosity and your fairness are in the interest of the American people.
Well, as you know, I'm not legally trained or law-oriented, and at one time NBC suggested it might be of some value to have legal counsel out here, and I did not want to do that for the main reason I thought it might look like we were ganging up on you, like this was going to become another showdown or something. And I thought, as a layman and an interested citizen of the country, it might be a little more casual atmosphere if we just talk in this way. I hope it's all right.
It's fine. I wish you'd also ask me any questions of any kind that occur to you, as long as they don't touch on Mr. Shaw. I haven't made a comment about Mr. Shaw since the day we arrested him, and I don't intend to talk about him.
Mr. Shaw is under indictment. It's a public record, and the trial will come up sometime in February, I believe.
We hope.
All right. Is it all right with you if I, first of all, maybe give a little chronology of some of your statements concerning
By all means.
A year ago, I believe it was, in February, you announced that you had solved. Now, this, of course, is not all of the statement of the particular day, but parts of it, if it applies. You announced that you had solved the Kennedy assassination. I have no reason to believe that Lou Harvey Oswald killed anyone in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963. That was a news conference a year ago. Then, in an AP interview in May, you said the president was killed by a bullet that was fired from the front. Pairs of men in the front. They had at least one man in the back who was shooting and another man engaged in a row in Daly Plaza in order to aid those with guns. That was the AP interview in May. From a television interview in May, these are your quotes, I believe, there were five of them. Three behind the stone wall and two behind the grassy knoll, and they're not quite out of sight. And they've been located in photographs. By the process of bringing them out, although they're not distinct enough, you can make an identification from their faces. In the NBC show of July, he said the evidence indicates that he was shot at in two different directions in the rear and also from the right front. And then from the Playboy interview, he said, our office has developed evidence that the president was assassinated by a precision guerrilla team of at least seven men. December news conference, you said it was very large and very well organized in talking about the conspiracy. You said an infinitely larger number of participants than you would dream. Press release in December. You say one man may have fired from the sewer in Dealey Plaza, that the development of the likely use of forces of the drainage system does not conflict with the picture of the other major shooting points. Now, in relation to the people involved, you said in the interview in May, there was a mixture of individuals, but the point is they were all anti-Castro oriented and had been engaged in anti-Castro training. When NBC in July, you said, the assassins were men who sought to attain a radical change in our foreign policy, particularly with regard to Cuba, individuals who were once associated with the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency. In a UPI release September, you said, it was a Nazi operation whose sponsors included some of the oil-rich millionaires in Texas and elements of the Dallas police force are clearly involved. January press release, the involvement of high officials of the United States government in the affair becomes more and more apparent. Isn't that terribly confusing? And don't you seem to be riding off in all directions?
It seems like it, doesn't it? Let me ask you first, how many hours do I have to answer this list you just went over?
Well, I know that we have the rest of the program this evening. I understand that we can't sit here and completely recreate or theorize on what happened, but I just wanted to get the chronology of the statements.
Let me see if I can put this in focus. If I were to say, for example, that an elephant has a tail, and he's gray, and he has four legs, it would be possible for somebody to point out, just a minute, you just finished saying an elephant had a tail, now you say he has four legs, and now you say he's gray. The point I'm making is that each of these factors is a characteristic of one being, and in a complex situation like this, it's possible to be standing at a different point of view and describing different aspects. For example, we find that in the group which killed John Kennedy, there are indeed left, as well as Americans. It is also true...
You say we find. Excuse me if I do interrupt. So we don't get out of
here. We have identified.
You say you have identified and have proof as a fact?
Yes.
All right.
Secondly, we have found that the Central Intelligence Agency, without any question, had individuals who were connected with it involved.
You have absolute facts and proof of that?
Without any question. I wouldn't say so otherwise. Third, we have found that a number of these individuals are, in their particular political orientation, reactionary. Now, that doesn't mean that there was any single conservative group involved, because there was not. But if I'm talking at one press conference and I'm asked, what did the political cast of the individuals involved, I may say, well, as far as the spectrum is concerned, we found a number who were reactionary. Later on, a month or so later, I might be asked, have you found any Latins involved? I answer yes. So it seems like each one is a different answer, but essentially it's the same. In other words, there hasn't been a great deal of change in the matter as we see it in the last 9 or 10 months. Certainly there have been refinements. My God, an investigation is a developmental thing. If we didn't know more about it now than we knew 30 days ago, we wouldn't be doing much. Yes, there are changes.
Can you say these things, Mr. Garrison? As we have found, and it comes out of print, people accept this as an established fact. And you say it's an established fact, but it has not been proved in any court of law, has it? I mean, this is what you are theorizing, are saying, but in fact has not been proved. Is that true?
It's partly true, except that I'm not theorizing. I'm telling you what we know to be fact as far as court of law.
But nobody else seems to.
Seems to what?
Seems to know that as a fact.
But nobody else has looked into it. This has never been investigated before. Wasn't investigated with the federal government. That was no attempt to investigate. That was just an operation to conceal the evidence. To conceal what happened. This is the first investigation they've ever had in this case.
What would you call the Warren Commission?
I would say that the function of the Warren Commission was to make the American people feel that the matter had been looked into so that there would be no further inquiries, so that the American people would not find out the involvement of elements of the Central Intelligence Agency, and so that they would think the matter was closed.
For what possible reason would they wish to do that?
First of all, I have to identify my answer now as speculation because you're asking me to go inside of their minds. I think that they could answer this better than I. But if you want to know my opinion, I will say it was probably presented to them as a matter of national security. I'm sure they rationalized it in that way because these aren't evil men. These were essentially good men. But the fact remains that their conclusion was totally untrue, patently untrue, and they had to know it. In my judgment...
That's your opinion.
I think that there is not one person in the United States, Johnny, who has gone through the 26 volumes of the Warren Commission inquiry who does not recognize that the conclusion of the Warren Commission was totally false. Totally.
You say you don't believe there's one?
I don't think there's one who's gone through the 26 volumes, no.
Well, I could give you a list of them.
Go ahead.
Here are the people who came to the conclusion that no evidence of conspiracy existed and reached independently by the following persons. Dean Rusk, Secretary of State, Robert S. McNamara, Secretary of Defense, Douglas Dillon, Secretary of the Treasury, J. Edgar Hoover, Director of the FBI, John McCollum, Director of the CIA, James Rowley, Chief of the Secret Service, and Attorney General at that time, Robert Kennedy. The investigation was under the supervision of the Commission, was conducted by approximately 30 attorneys selected from 12 states and included professors of law, prosecutors, and federal and state law enforcement agencies, and the former police commissioner of the city of New York. In addition, numberless FBI and Secret Service agents conducted various phases of the investigation and submitted over 25,000 reports. Now, when I read what you say, are you asking the American public to believe that all of these men are such low intelligence or could be so easily duped and not know the facts?
I can tell you that none of them have read the Warren Commission or they wouldn't be taking that position. Now, I don't pretend to know what motivates these distinguished men, but I can tell you that I'm no longer impressed by the title of a man, and the fact that he's important in Washington doesn't mean a thing to me because I've seen what the members of the Warren Commission did. For example, they concluded that Lee Oswald was the lone assassin, and the evidence is clear that Oswald never fired a shot, never fired a shot. So the fact that you could give me a list of 1,000 honorable men, and that wouldn't change the fact. That doesn't make it so.
Didn't the Warren Commission say, insofar as we were able to determine Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, and if there were other assassins, we were unable to find them?
I think that probably...
There is a difference in them, and categorically saying one thing.
The difference is kind of marginal. I'd say there is a saving clause when they add those words, but I think it's much more significant when you consider that the major question by the summer of 1964 was from how many directions was John Kennedy hit? And which shot was the fatal shot? And where was he hit? Now, 18 colored pictures were taken of the autopsy, and 12 black and white. And not a single member of the Warren Commission looked at it. Not one of them looked at it. And surely the reason for that must be that they knew what they would see. Not a single member looked at it. So consequently, right now, today, these men have not looked at the evidence which shows that the President of the United States was killed by a shot in the front. On the other hand, there is evidence available to the people of this country, if we can just get it presented to them, that shows that the President was killed from the front, and that is the Zapruder film. The Zapruder film was taken on the 22nd and shows the assassination. And it shows that John Kennedy was hit from the front with such force that he had nearly busted out of the back of the car. Yet it's 4 years since the assassination, and no one here has seen the Zapruder film. Nobody in the country listening to us has seen it, and they probably never will. And the reason they probably never will is because if you look at the Zapruder film, you know without any question that the President was hit from the front. The question is, if all of these honorable men are telling the truth, and if they really have looked into it, why is it that NBC, for example, I know NBC would love to show it, why can't NBC show the Zapruder film? What difference does it matter, Johnny, how many honorable men are involved? when the critical evidence is continually being concealed from the American people. When they can't see the evidence...
That's a big statement, isn't it, to say that the evidence is being concealed from the American public?
No, let me show you some of the...
Do we have to interrupt for a second? We'll come back. I just have to interrupt the commercial clarification by the CNN, and we'll continue. Right now, take a close look at your hands, the people at the Chapstick Company has, and they can offer something very interesting. So before you go on to this, I have to say, as a layman, I find your statement that all of these people, names I've mentioned, plus high government officials, are trying to hide knowledge of the conspiracy and the death of the president. I don't think for what possible reason secrets in this country have not been notoriously well kept. Things have a way of getting out any time more than two or three people. I just can't understand how you think that these men think they could get away with this, and for what reason they would do it. If they want to reassure the American public, I hardly think that they would be involved in any kind of complicity, but they are trying to hide information. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I agree with you. As a matter of fact, I have not been exactly famous for rocking the boat. I was a true believer until I stumbled into this thing. But let me answer your question by, first of all, giving you a list of dozens and dozens of files which are secret until the year 2039. I have an 8-year-old boy. Before my 8-year-old boy can look at these files, some of them having titles like Lee Harvey Oswald's accessibility to the U-2, the CIA file on Lee Harvey Oswald, the CIA file on Jack Ruby. Before my boy can look at these, he will be over 70 years old. Now, all I can say is there are four long pages here, and they are secret. If there's nothing wrong, then certainly they can open them up. But I can't look into their brains, Johnny, and tell you why they did it.
Does this mean, Jim, that you feel any time anyone comes up, say another district attorney, in a few weeks, or another citizen comes up and says, how do we know only three shots were fired? I think there were five. And now do you expect somebody to be galvanized into action and make the commission defend itself when these findings were accepted by all parties concerned and also accepted by the then Attorney General of the United States, Robert Kennedy? I find it hard to believe that a conspiracy could exist or things could be hidden. In the Warren Report, the commission's findings, they could find no link to Oswald with the CIA, to Oswald with the Secret Service, to Oswald with the FBI. Why do you insist in the face of that evidence that there was?
Of what evidence? Johnny, I know you won't mind...
In their investigation.
There was never an investigation. I know you won't mind my being candid and say that... Actually, you changed the subject and you've asked me several questions, one involving the Warren Commission and the other involving Senator Kennedy. First of all, let's take the Warren Commission. I'm not at all impressed with the fact that they could find no evidence of a conspiracy. After going through their inquiry, I doubt if they could find a streetcar, if they had a transfer in their hand, it was pointed out to them. I think that that they knew at the beginning what they were going to do, and what they were going to do was to reach the conclusion that Oswald was the lone assassin because he was dead and because the Central Intelligence Agency was deeply involved in the assassination. Was their action fraudulent? Yes. Is it unusual for people of such stature? Yes, but the fact remains that they did. Now, with regard...
No, you say the fact remains again, as if it is a fact. You keep saying we know, and the fact is... But that's not a fact, is it?
Yes. Let me take one more.
What makes it a fact? Because you say so?
No, not because I say so, but because the evidence indicates that Lee Harvey Oswald did not fire a shot. Will you concede that the Warren Commission reached the conclusion that Lee Oswald shot at the president from the depository?
I will.
All right. Now let's look at the facts. The facts are that they couldn't find a single witness out of all the hundreds and hundreds of people in the plaza to say that Oswald was at that window until Lee Oswald was dead. And finally, one man who initially had said that he was not out of the window, a man named Brennan, finally agreed it was. No one else out of the 100 saw it there. Actually,
I have to take issue with you.
What's the name of it?
Other people did see people in the window.
Not
a man in the window, and identified him, his characteristics, his height, his clothing.
And you thought, no, that's not correct. You're talking about Arnold Rollins. He said that the man in the window had on a yellow shirt, and he had another, there was another man, a very dark man with him. The first part of the statement does not point to Arnold because he had a dark maroon shirt on, and further it points away from the lone assassin. No one else other than Brennan indicated they saw Oswald in the window. And Brennan himself said it was not Lee Oswald the first.
Well, he described the man, and that broadcast was put out from man of that description.
And when he was shown Oswald's picture, he said it was not Lee Oswald. That was his first position.
That was his first position.
Can you name anybody else who saw Oswald in the window?
I would have to take out the report. Yes, there were other people who saw a man up there and gave a description of him, and that was why Oswald was
if you take the afternoon paper in Dallas on November 22nd and read the statement, for example, made by Otis V. Campbell, who was vice president of the book depository, you will read that after the assassination, he went inside the book depository and he saw Lee Oswald on the first floor. If you read the statements of Officer Marion Baker and Roy Cooley, you will read that they came running in shortly after Campbell went in, and in running up towards the roof, they saw Oswald on the second floor. If you look at the fingerprint results for the rifle, you will find that Oswald's fingerprints were not on the rifle.
Just a palm print.
The palm print was not confirmed by the federal government either. That was an announcement from the Dallas police. You'll also find that no test was ever made to see whether the rifle was fired. You will also find the young lady named Vicki Adams, if you look in volume 12, was on her way down from the fourth floor during the time that Oswald was supposed to have descended, and no one passed her at all.
Jim, what are you doing? And I'm not saying all of these things are factual. Aren't you taking inconsistencies in testimony during the most of the time, even self-contradictory testimony from even sometimes the most truthful of witnesses, and using that as tainting everything else that is very well explained? Can we come back to follow that up in a moment? We're back with Mr. Garrison to kind of say where we were. I will agree with you, but you can go right ahead and make this point, Garrison, and then
yes, let me answer your last question. In fact, you said, aren't you taking advantage of the fact that many witnesses were excited, moment, and confused, and so forth? Let me reply that I can't change the fact that it was an unusual moment, and there were many people who were emotionally affected by what happened. However, we have located, with no trouble, many, many people who heard shots coming from the area of the grassy knoll. Practically none of these people were called by the Warren Commission. On the other hand, the Warren Commission merely presented one person, Mr. Brennan, who initially insisted that he couldn't identify Oswald. I'm simply saying that whether they were emotionally affected or not, they should have called in some of the others so that they could have found out what happened. For example, among the many, many people who heard shots coming from the area to the west of the book depository are Dorothy Ann Garner, Otis Williams, Otis Campbell, Mrs. Avery Davis, Mr. and Mrs. Newman, Mrs. Dolores Kunis, Stephen Wilson, Danny Arsh, Jim Hicks, and many, many others. Practically, all of these people were ignored by the Warren Commission. My point is, they didn't look into it because they didn't talk to anybody who heard the shots coming from anywhere else. In other words, they didn't want to hear a thing that did not incriminate Lee Oswald.
Isn't it a fact that many people, depending on where they were standing that day, heard shots coming from where they, in relation to where they were standing, and the unique arrangement of the buildings there, and even the discussion with witnesses, they said they really couldn't tell. It could have been a reverberation, it could have been an echo, but that even again does not change the the overwhelming evidence, does it, in any way? I mean, somebody who's not sure where shots come from, how does that in any way change the overwhelming major revelations of the case?
First of all, there is no overwhelming evidence that Oswald Shotton looked depository. The only evidence available indicates that he did not. Furthermore, of all the major conclusions reached by the Warren Commission, the only one that's true is the conclusion that Jack Ruby shot Lee Oswald. And they had to say that because everybody in the country saw it.
In your opinion, that's the only conclusion I reached. Hardly the major conclusion that many reasonable people have accepted. Now, you cannot say that that's the only conclusion they came to. They came to any conclusions. Or what presumably, or what possibly did happen with all credible evidence available.
Having gone through the 26 volumes, Johnny, I can say that it is not possible for a reasonable man to conclude that the Warren Commission was right.
Well, then you are accusing, if you say there is a conspiracy involving this, doesn't it have to be one amazing conspiracy, Mr. Garrison? I mean, if you say this is a conspiracy, doesn't this have to involve the CIA, elements of the Dallas Police Force, the doctors at Parkland, the doctors at Bethesda, the members of the Warren Commission themselves, the district attorney? Doesn't it have to involve all of these people?
No. Now, let me answer this and get this clear once and for all. The doctors at Parkland concluded that the shots came from the front. To the last man, Dr. Perry, Dr. McClellan, Dr. McClellan's...
Why did they come to that conclusion?
Because they looked at the body of the president. Now, let me finish this point.
But they didn't turn it over, did they?
But, John, if there were shots from the front, what difference does it make if there were shots from the back, too? Oswald was behind the president. He can't produce shots from the front.
Well, Mr. Garrison, you said that they all agreed there were shots from the front. In the confusion of the autopsy, all the doctors involved, and after speculation, including Dr. Perry, admitted that they did not, at the time, there were penetrating wounds used. Some people have changed that to entrance wounds. They were involved in saving the president's lives, but all of the doctors agreed that Bethesda, in the final autopsy, the shots came unequivocally from above and behind the president.
This is not the conclusion of all of the doctors. For example, if you will look at Commission Exhibit 392, you will see the cause of death written down at 4:45 on the afternoon of November the 22nd by Dr. McClellan, and he says the cause of death was a gunshot wound of the left temple. Everybody who has a Warren Commission in their library can go look at Commission Exhibit 392, and they will see gunshot wound of the left temple.
Was that the doctor at Parkland?
Yes.
But that wasn't the final autopsy, and that was not the final autopsy after you had a chance to do it correctly. That was done very quickly under great strain with trying to remove the president's body from death. I think, I don't want to throw something at you and then cop out on it, but I think we're starting to rehash things that have been rehashed so much. Why don't we go on to this new evidence that you have?
Fine, but I must say that when you talk about an autopsy being performed correctly, I take it you're talking about Samantha Hume's autopsy.
I'm talking about the doctors who all agree.
Yes, this is certainly the first autopsy in history in which the doctor performing it found it necessary to burn his notes out. Now, I don't know what he did that caused him to burn his notes, but I can't view that as a correct autopsy.
Is that a fact?
Of course it is. It's admitted in the Warren Report. Now, let me go to something else. Let me show you, with a few examples, the technique that the federal government used to distort and conceal evidence. For example,
when you say, let me show you methods, I hate to interrupt.
Yes.
But when you make a statement that let me show you methods that the federal government used to distort, that is not a fact, is it? Is this what your opinion is, or the way you think it happened?
Now, you understand that I'm a human being, and it's very difficult for any human being, including a scientist, to speak with total objectivity. So when I say, let me show you some examples of how distortion was accomplished, obviously, these are examples about how I think it was accomplished.
All right.
You may or may not agree.
All right, that's okay. What I wanted to make clear.
All right. Now, if you look in the Warren Commission report...